back to another episode of the Chainsaw Enema Show. As always, I'm Johnny B. Ghoul.
And as always, I'm Misfit Mike.
Tonight, Misfit Mike and I will be discussing Rob Zombie's The Munsters.
Yeah.
That released back in 2022. We thought it would be fun to do something a little new.
Yeah, I mean, we just got done doing the Universal movie Monsters, and that was great, but I'm into, you know, wanting to do something a little bit more modern.
Same here, and I can't believe it that it's over, the Universal, I still can't believe it.
Yeah.
For 8 weeks worth of just talking about Boris Karloff and Lon Chaney and all the greats, you know?
Yeah, but for now, I mean, we'll revisit some more of the movies later on, but I kind of feel like you needed a break, and so did I.
Yeah, so. Plus Brittany's getting annoyed. She was happy to watch The Munsters, as was I.
Yeah, it's I watched this when it first came out on Netflix, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very funny.
God damn it, Mike.
What?
You jumped ahead. That was going to be one of my questions for you.
Oh, shit.
Did you watch this movie when it first released?
My bad.
That's okay. No, that's good. You saved me the trouble from having to talk more, I guess. It saves our listeners the, you know, trouble of listening to me.
Yeah, so they have to listen to me now. Anyways.
But when it did come out on Netflix, you did watch it.
Yes. I really enjoyed it. I really thought it was very funny. I've always been a fan of the original show.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a point of contention for us for a long time.
Yes, it
because
has.
Because I've always been more of a fan of the Addams Family, and you've always been more of a fan of the Munsters.
Mm-hmm.
But I do. I love them both. I really do. I mean, Al Lewis and Fred Gwynne were both fantastic in the show.
Yvonne DiCarlo was just outstanding as well.
Oh, yeah.
You can't forget her. And the same thing with Butch Patrick and Pat Priest and Beverly Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Although Beverly Owen, she was on the first 13 episodes, and then she got married, I guess, and left the show because of that. And then they brought Pat Priest on. They brought a lookalike. And it's funny because I looked up that, they mentioned they wanted to bring on someone that looked exactly like Beverly Owen.
Mm-hmm.
I think they nailed it because the first time I revisited this, like years ago, like, I don't know, 2009,
right,
2010, I went on a Munsters binge and I didn't notice it.
Yeah, well, they did a really good job with that because, to be perfectly honest, I didn't realize until later on that they had actually got some lookalike. Really did do well with that. And again, Fred Gwynne is just such an amazing actor. In anything I've seen him in, from this to Car 54 to Pet Sematary.
I was just watching Car 54 last night.
Yeah, I haven't seen that show in so long.
It's great. It's on Peacock right now, actually. So if if anyone's interested, that's on Peacock. The Abbott and Costello show, that's on Peacock. There's some really good stuff going on there now.
Very cool.
You cannot talk about this movie without talking about the originals. And one thing that shocked me, and we just spoke about this a few days ago. I had messaged you while I was working, and I had said I did something bad, and that was I listened to a lot of other podcasts that talked about this movie. And boy, oh boy, I was really surprised at how much hate this movie got. It was angering me because most of these people, and I don't want to put down anyone else's show. That's not what we're about, and I don't like to do that, but this really angered me. There are a lot of people that were talking about this movie as if they didn't even know that the show even existed.
Right.
They didn't even know that this was a prequel. I don't know where they were getting their information from. Someone actually said that Rob Zombie was forced to make this movie, that he got the script handed to him. He didn't want to do it, but he did it for money or something. And that just amazes me because if anyone knows Rob Zombie or have seen his interviews, he's loved the Munsters since he was a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, the song Dragula, that's the hot rod from the Munsters.
Yeah.
And they got the Munsters coach that he used in the video because the dragster, I guess, was out on tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I was always curious about because it was called Dragula, but he was driving the Munsters coach. So now I kind of understand it. But yeah, it just really surprised me that a lot of people really don't know that Rob Zombie, this was one of Rob Zombie's dreams, was to do the Munsters. And I gave it a chance because of that. At first, I was skeptical and I was like, oh God, not another Trailer Park trashy Rob Zombie movie. But then I thought, you know what? He's been a Munsters fan. I think he might try to do this justice. Yeah. You know, he's gonna give it his best shot, and I respect that.
I like Rob Zombie's movies, and I know I'm in the minority of that in a lot of aspects, because to be fair, a lot of his movies can be kind of hard to like. But I loved House of a Thousand Corpses, the Firefly trilogy, I absolutely loved. I really liked the first Halloween he did.
The second one can go by.
I liked it, but the way it was filmed, I wasn't...
The filming was bad. The cinematography was just sloppy.
Yeah.
It was just all over the place sloppy. The transitions were terrible, and it was just too dark.
And I don't care if I get a lot of hate for this. I do not care. 31 is one of my favorite fucking movies. I love it. I think it's amazing. Richard Brake is fucking awesome in it.
I was just going to say Richard Brake pretty much made that movie for me too.
Yeah, that movie is, it's one of my favorites, mm-hmm. and I don't care.
I don't care. Well, let's talk about our cast for this movie. I've been really looking forward to doing this. We're going to give this a really fair review. We really do try to do the best we can with movies we love and don't love. There's very few movies we've done that we don't like so far.
Right. We're going to get there.
Yeah, the only one that we've done that I really did not like is Phantom of the Opera. So if you're interested in hearing me rant about that, go check that one out. Mike had some disagreements with me, but unfortunately he wasn't on the show. He missed it. You wanted to be there though, right?
Oh, very much so.
You wanted to be there, but unfortunately, you know, we have health issues at times. You were sick, not feeling well. It's understandable.
Yeah.
It's fine. We missed you though.
But I miss being here.
So for our top cast, we have, of course, this is directed by Rob Zombie. Jeff Daniel Phillips was Herman Munster. He also played the characters Zombo and Shecky Von Rathbone, which just cracked me up when I saw that. Sherry Moon Zombie as Lily, and she also played Donna Doomley, who was the goofy-looking, chipmunk-looking, squirrely news anchor there. And Daniel Roebuck as the Count, and he also played Ezra Mosher. He also did a small little cameo during the part where they're visiting, looking at the mine. He was sitting there in the crowd.
Yeah.
I noticed that last night when I watched this, and I was like, is that Daniel Roebuck there too? It's just a little uncredited part he got thrown in there. I thought that was just so cool.
Oh yeah, that was really cool to see him there. And actually, I found it kind of funny. I didn't realize until last night after watching the making of that was Sherry Moon Zombie is Donna Doomley.
Yeah, I didn't know it either.
They did a really good job with the makeup and whatnot on that.
They really did, because when I had to read about that, and when I saw it, it still blew my mind. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
They really did she did a good job in that part. She really does take her acting seriously.
She really does. And I know she gets a lot of, you know, a lot of hate because, you know, she's in every Rob Zombie movie, but there's a reason why.
Well, also, you got to remember, look, if you were in Rob Zombie's position and you had a chance to put the love of your life in movies, why the hell not?
Exactly.
You know, bitch and complain all you want, but I would do the same thing. I don't care.
And it's not like she's a horrible actress. I mean,
I've seen worse.
Oh, I've seen much worse.
We've all seen worse.
You know, but she tries. She tries hard. She busts her ass off like anybody else. Mm-hmm.
And if you watch the special features on this too, one thing I noticed was that Sherry Moon Zombie was extremely professional on the set with the, you know, switching wardrobes and stuff. And it looked like she had a great time, but she took it very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something you have to respect no matter who the actor or actress is.
I don't think that she's just, you know, there writing Rob's curtails or anything like that. You know, she's actually putting in the work, and she's, again, I mean, she was great in 31. You know, she was great in this. She was great.
Of course,
Baby Firefly.
That's her
she was
big,
amazing.
You know, I mean, if anything, that is Rob Zombie's brainchild was Devil's Rejects. I mean, that movie... I saw that in theaters, and I was blown away by it. It was great. Even if you don't like the blood and gore and violence and stuff, you got to give the guy credit for the fabulous directing that he did.
Oh, yeah.
The cinematography in that movie was really great. The color of it, the way it was shot, it just had this nitty-gritty type of atmosphere to it. It was awesome.
Yeah,
this is fantastic.
It was. It took you back to the old
grindhouse, style, almost. Grindhouse, yeah,
like
yeah.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre type of stuff. That was what I kind of cut my teeth on when I started watching movies like this.
Yeah,
I will never understand the BS that people give to Rob or Sherry.
It seems like a. I mean, you said the other day, it's almost like a popular thing. Yeah. Must hate Rob Zombie's movies.
Yeah,
everyone keeps saying, you know, stick to your music, you know, you don't got what it takes to be a director. Well, you know what, let's see you do better. I mean, this is just what the guy wants to do. I don't think he's trying to prove anything to anyone. I mean, I've seen I've seen the guy in interviews, and it's just something that he loves to do, so why not?
And it makes him happy, and it's like he's not hurting for money, so
no, he's not.
You know, I mean, my God, if the guy wants to make movies, you know, let him make movies, for crying out loud.
We've got a ton of cameos in this movie too.
Oh God, yeah.
Cassandra Peterson, who's more well known for her role as Elvira.
And
she was
the love
in it.
Of my life. I love Elvira.
Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster in the original Munsters, was the voice of the Tin Can Man, which I think is great because they did a Munsters episode called Tin Man Can, and it was about Eddie's school science project that him and the family helped worked on, which was an actual tin can robot that they made. And it kind of looked a little bit similar. It was more of like an upgraded version, but it was, he did that voice. You can't tell it's him at all because of the effects and stuff, but he was the part of the movie, which was cool. Yeah.
Somebody called 911 thing got me laughing.
Top of his head's on fire and flame. That was good, yeah. And then, of course, we've got Pat Priest, who also did a airline announcer voice cameo. Dee Wallace was in this, and she previously appeared in the made-for-television film Here Come the Monsters from 95.
Now, I didn't know that. That's
I didn't either.
Really cool.
And I was looking for her specifically, and I didn't see her anywhere. Then again, the wardrobes and the makeup and everything was done so well in this. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me, you know, if it was easy to miss her. I mean, it was a small cameo from what I heard, but it was great she was a part of it.
Yeah, and I mean, of course, you got, like, you know, a lot of different characters doing that were already in the movie as main characters, also doing kind of cameos.
Yeah.
With, you know, Richard Brake being Orlok.
He did Orlok, and I found out about that last night. That was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Dr. Wolfgang. He's kind of this grumpy guy, but he's funny. Yeah. You know, he's really, really funny. I liked him as that. And I loved Orlok. I love how they had Nosferatu in this.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was so freaking great and hilarious.
And how
he was creepy and goofy at the same time.
How he was doing, like, the German techno music and all that shit. Oh, my God.
That was great.
It was amazing.
But, yeah, so a lot of great cameos in this. So, okay, let's start things off. First things first, I want to mention that it is very important to understand that this movie is a prequel to the Monsters TV series.
Yep.
Now, Mike, I want your opinion on this. Give me your feedback. When you first heard Rob Zombie was going to be making this Monsters movie, you probably had the same thoughts I did. What were those thoughts?
I was a bit apprehensive, to be honest. This was, along with The Addams Family, two of the biggest shows of my childhood. I mean, I grew up watching the old reruns of The Monsters, The Addams Family, stuff like that. So Fred Gwynne was always the Monster, you know, was always Herman Munster for me.
Yeah,
so when Rob Zombie was talking about bringing it back, you know, and of course, obviously, Fred wasn't going to be in it, Al wasn't going to be in it. You know, I got really apprehensive because how can you do better than those characters?
You can't.
For the show.
You simply can't.
So yeah, I was really, really a little worried, but then I started reading that he was getting who he was getting, and I was like, okay, this might be able to work. Is it going to be the same? No. Does it have to be? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I figured, yeah, I'm a little apprehensive, but I'll give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, it was coming on Netflix. You know, I pay for Netflix. It's free. If I don't like it, I can always turn it off. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved the scenes. I loved the costumes. I loved the special effects. You know, I thought it was all so well done. It's not a perfect movie. There are parts that drags, and some of the dialogue can be, as in the original show, a bit cringy. But overall, it's a great movie.
I strongly believe, though, that Rob could have found a better Herman. I mean, Jeff did a great job. Don't get me wrong.
He's no Fred Gwynne.
He was no Fred Gwynne, but if they... I wonder about this. I think Brad Garrett would have been the perfect actor to play Herman. He's got the height. He's got the voice. If you look up on YouTube, you could find him doing Munster skits on Everybody Loves Raymond. I was absolutely blown away by it. I got that from Rob Zombie years ago, said something about how he saw Brad Garrett do a Herman Munster skit and it was the best he'd ever seen. So I immediately looked it up and I was so blown away. I was like, he is like the reincarnation of Fred Gwynne. I was so friggin' shocked.
I have never, wow. I'm gonna have to look that up.
Because... And Brad Garrett's amazing anyway.
Oh, he's a great, fantastic
He's
actor.
A great actor. He's a great voice actor. He's done a lot of stuff. He's hilarious and everybody loves Raymond. As you know, Mike, it's one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I really like it myself. But hell, he's funny in those damn Jimmy John's commercials there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I have never, and that's weird because now that the more I think about it, he would be freaking perfect to play Herman.
He really would, yeah. It's just they'd just have to get the makeup down. But, you know, I mean, I wonder why he wasn't. Maybe they couldn't afford him. Maybe he wasn't available. There could have been many reasons. I'm sure Rob thought of it, and maybe he was let down and didn't, you know, or maybe he wanted Jeff Daniel Phillips and just...
And I'm not saying that Jeff didn't do a fantastic job.
No,
he did.
No, he was good.
But it's one of those things where, like, you know, he did a great job, but, there's other people that I could see playing that role and doing it better. Here I go on a tangent.
Tangent time. But get your coffees.
There... Love you too, buddy. But there's a movie called Desperation. It's based off of a book by Stephen King. And when I read the book, the only one person in my mind that I thought to play one of the main villains in the movie, mm-hmm. whose name was Intriguean, was John Goodman. That was who was in my mind when I was reading that book. Just the way that they described him, the size, the way he acted, the way he spoke. It was all John Goodman. And then when they did the movie, instead of getting John Goodman, they got Ron Perlman. And Ron Perlman did a fantastic job. But I just, still in my mind, it's John Goodman is that role.
Interesting. So, and a lot of people are going to have their own ideas of who would work better. You know, this person would work better, that person would work better.
Yeah,
but I don't think there's anyone that could play Herman Munster better than Fred Gwynne, of course. He's the original. There's no better. He was very unique. He had a unique voice. He had an unusual height. His face, he had that lantern-like jaw, jagged, and just a very long face. He just had that look. But man, I'm telling you, Brad Garrett would be the reincarnation of him. If he, I think he could really pull it off. I really do
because I, like I said, I never even thought of that.
So let's get into some trivia here. Rob Zombie shot this film with heightened color scheme, and I noticed when the actors were in makeup and they were just walking around and everything, and this is something that Rob Zombie actually said, you know, they were getting lunch or whatever, they looked a lot like cartoon characters that came to life, and they were just so insanely colorful. I mean, they were. If you look at the behind the scenes footage, mm-hmm. they really do look like cartoons. So he had to light the movie in the same fashion, and it really seemed at all times like a live action cartoon, which was really exciting. And I agree with Rob on that. As soon as I heard him say it was like cartoon characters that came to life, I immediately understood why they shot it in this type of color. And most of the comments and the people on the podcast that I was listening to, that was like their number one main concern was, oh, the color is just terrible. It's terribly saturated. I don't know what the hell kind of TV they're watching it on, or if they're watching it on a DVD or Blu-ray or what. I mean, we got the special edition Blu-ray of this.
Yeah.
We have high-def TVs. I have a smart TV. You got what? You got like 5 smart TVs now.
Something like that.
I mean, we have good stuff. You know, I've watched this on PlayStation, and then I watched the Blu-ray on my Xbox One, and it was phenomenal. Yeah. First time I watched it was on Netflix, and it was pretty much the same. The Blu-ray's a little better. It's more colorful, but it's very bright, vibrant. That was one of the things that drew me this, and I loved it.
You know what it kind of reminded me of? It kind of reminded me of the color scheme like Tim Burton used, or not Tim Burton, but Joel Schumacher used in Batman and Robin. And that was kind of one of the only things about that
movie
I
that
liked.
Was good.
You know, so I thought the color in this was great. It was so vibrant, and
Killed all the dinosaurs? Oh, the Ice Age.
Please, no.
I had to throw that out
there. I hate that movie so much. Anyways, but I thought the colors in this were fantastic.
They had to. He couldn't have shot it in black and white either.
Oh, God, no.
He mentioned on the special features that he thought about doing it in black and white. And then he said, in today's times, they wouldn't have allowed it. They would not have given him a green light.
Right.
And he basically had to ask himself, okay, do I want to do this movie or not?
Right.
It's got to be in color. So he went the opposite with it. Yeah, and I completely understand why.
Yeah, and he did it in ultra color, and I thought it was fantastic. I thought, like watching a live action cartoon.
Yes, exactly. So. And Daniel Roebuck, man, he's a great actor.
Yes, he is.
He is a very longtime fan of the Munsters.
I can tell.
They all are.
Yeah.
I mean, Sherry Moon Zombie and Rob Zombie have been fans of the Munsters since they were kids, I think they said.
Oh, yeah.
And it shows. But Daniel Roebuck, also a longtime fan of the Munsters. He owns a Herman Munster doll, and it was signed by Fred Gwynn.
That's cool.
Because they worked together on a film called Disorganized Crime that came out in 1989. And he also met Al Lewis through a friend. So he's actually had some interactions with these guys, which is very cool.
I had never heard of this movie.
Have you?
Heard of it, never seen it.
I want to look that up now because 1989, Daniel Roebuck and Fred Gwynn? Geez, that's...
Maybe it's on streaming somewhere.
Maybe. And but yeah, we know Rob Zombie and Sherry Moon Zombie are huge fans of the Munsters. And Rob Zombie recorded the commentary for the Blu-ray of this. He also recorded it for Munster Go Home from 1966.
Wow.
Yeah, Munster Go Home. I did not know that. I got that Scream Factory edition of that, and now I want to go back and hear him talk about it because that's just all. I mean, that movie wasn't the greatest, but the movies that the Munsters did were not great. They really weren't good at all. Munster Go Home was good because it was all the original cast at least, but it was not a great story, but the show was where it was at. But still, I want to check this out.
It's kind of like the Addams Family movies compared to the show.
Well, that's where I think we're going to disagree because the Addams Family movies I love.
Oh, I do too. Don't get me wrong.
I hate the show.
I'm not talking about the Addams Family movies with Raul Julia.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the ones that came after when they had, and don't get me wrong, I love Tim Curry and Nathan Lane. But as far as I'm concerned, John Astin is Gomez Adams.
Mm.
But Raul Julia did a fantastic job. I love the show, but, you know, all the movies except for those two.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the animated ones yet, so I can't really...
The first one I saw was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable for kids. It was cute.
Yeah.
It was very cute. It was good for an animated movie. You really can't complain about that. I mean, watch it and you'll see what I mean. You really can't. Well, we're talking about the Munsters. Fuck the Addams Family.
Hey, now. Let's not get testy here.
The character Bella in this movie, it's a nod to, of course, I mean, we know this, Bella Lugosi, who played Dracula, but he also played the gypsy Bella in The Wolfman, which we just recently did a couple episodes ago from 1941.
I thought it was cool. It was very funny. I was really noticing all the throwbacks to the Universal movies throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah. I liked Gilbert a lot.
Yeah.
He was funny.
Yeah,
Nosferatu, Wolfman is... Oh, yeah. You see a magazine of Boris Karloff as the mummy there.
Yep.
I loved when they were watching The Creature from the Black Lagoon and throwing popcorn around. That was really fun. And you saw a poster in the background. It made me think of you. Creature Walks Among Us. I laughed because we were just talking about how terrible that is.
Oh, buddy. Yeah, boy.
When Herman is backstage in one of the scenes in this movie, and he's testing out ideas for his stage act, like when you first see Herman in this movie, I didn't realize this, but it pays homage to Groucho Marx. That I could see, but also Steve Martin.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that at first until I read about it. Then I was like, oh, yeah. I thought that was really awesome.
That was another thing that was really cool. There was a lot of real subtle nods to different
stuff
in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not, you know, well educated in, you know, past movies and whatever.
Oh, especially.
A lot of it is super hard to miss.
I was really surprised that Rob threw this one in there after Herman sees all the normal people in the new neighborhood at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He runs back inside and yells, "Car 54, where are you?" And that's the name of the TV show that starred Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis, who were in The Munsters, and the original actors who played, Herman and Grandpa Munster.
Yep.
But a similar joke had already been used in Munster Go Home as well, from 1966. And I wouldn't have gotten that if I didn't watch, because I watched Car 54 right before me and Brittany watched this movie last night. And she noticed it. She's never seen it or even heard of it until I turned it on yesterday. And when he yelled that out, she was like, babe. I was like, yeah, that's so fucking cool. Because I didn't pick up on that the first time I watched this movie.
Oh, yeah. The first time I watched it, I heard that. And I was like, okay. Yeah, that's great. I used to watch that show all the frickin' time when I was a kid. You know, of course, it was the reruns.
Yeah, I can't believe they only made two seasons of it. I only watched 2-3 episodes last night because it's all I had time for. But from what I watched, it was great.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Great. It was a great comedy.
Just that classic, clean, ridiculous comedy.
Yeah.
Some dad jokes in there. More in the Munsters, though. Munsters were all filled with the dad jokes, which I can understand and love more now that I'm older.
I could be way off base, but I swear I think there was a movie that came out in the 90s about Car 54, Where Are You?
We're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, because that's been on my brain now since we talked about it last night.
So oh my God, I can't believe we forgot them. I told you to remind me.
I was going to remind you at the end.
At the end. Let's do it now before we get into the movie plot.
Okay.
We have broke 1,000 downloads so far, and we've only had 24 episodes out. So that was really exciting to see. It's really exciting that people are actually listening to that. Well, we don't know if you're listening to the whole episode.
Yeah.
We hope so, but if you are listening, seriously, a big shout out to you guys.
Thank you so much.
This has been, so far, just a blast. We love doing this, and we're going to continue doing this. Seeing how there's so many listeners, it's fantastic. It's great. So we just wanted to send a shout out. Next time we'll send a shout out. Maybe, I don't know, maybe at 5,000 or something. So let's talk about the movie plot of this movie.
Movie plot of this movie.
Yeah, that was really dumb. Let's get into the movie. So it starts out, mad scientist Dr. Henry Augustus Wolfgang, who's played by Richard Brake, the great Richard Brake, and his hunchback assistant, Floop. Thought that was a funny name. So they're Robin
Thank
Graves.
Thank you. That was bugging the crap. For some reason, Floop. I thought his damn name was Falafel.
Falafel. What? Oh, God damn it, Mike. Fuck. Falafel. You like driving me insane. Okay.
Yeah, it's fun.
Floop. They go rob graves for body parts to build the whole Frankenstein thing. You know, they're going to build an experimental creation. And
there's no Halloween costumes out there or decorations or anything like in Frankenstein.
What?
Remember Frankenstein? The Universal Frankenstein?
Yeah.
The Grim Reaper Halloween decoration that was out there.
Oh, in the cemetery that was oh my God, that was... No, instead you've got this fucking guy, I forget the Pennyworth.
Yeah, the pianist there.
You know what's funny? That's the drummer of Whitesnake's voice. They did a voiceover. You should have watched the commentary, man. Yeah, I guess he does like funny voice work. I think it was the drummer, someone in Whitesnake. But if you want to find out exactly who, check out the commentary. But I'm almost positive it was the drummer. So Floop goes and accidentally steals the wrong head. He gets the head of this hacky comedian, Shecky Von Rathbone. And it's great because you see him like on the news. There's like the good one and then there's the bad one. And it's played by, he's played by Jeff Daniel Phillips. I always forget his name for some reason.
Just remember Jeff Daniels, lose the S and put Phillips.
That's even more confusing. God damn it, Mike. So he gets the wrong head and instead of his astrophysicist brother, physicist. So instead of Shecky's astrophysicist brother, Shelly, I thought that it was cool that his brother's name was Shelly.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a Mary Shelley, who Wolfgang wanted because he was considered he was saying that he was the smartest man in the world. And this part reminded me a lot of the Abby Normal Brain from Young Frankenstein. So Wolfgang uses electricity to give life to his Frankenstein creation.
And this part is so fucking insane over the top, and I love it.
It's great. without this part, this movie, I don't think would have worked. I mean, everything just looked so fantastic in this scene. The lighting, the machines, the way that, that Richard Brake played this mad scientist guy mm-hmm. was just fucking insane. Even Brittany was like, wow, he really sold it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
And the building that they did that scene in was so freaking cool, even before they set it up with, you know, all the scenes and whatever. What was it like? It was in Budapest.
Yeah, this was all filmed in Budapest.
Yeah, but I think it was like an old power plant, I think.
Yeah,
they said.
It was a shut down, abandoned power plant.
Yeah.
So all the machines against like the wall and everything, those are real. Those weren't put there. And the glass ceiling there with the lights.
Yeah.
They put those lights in that didn't originally light up.
Right,
it was just like a sunroof type of, you know, see through type of glass.
Yeah, it was an amazing building.
It was
the architecture was just beautiful.
I mean, even Rob said that it kind of blew him away. It was above and beyond and felt very real.
He said
it really spooked him at times. This scene looked really good. It was so great. And it was funny, too. The guy who plays Floop, I forget his name, Garcia, something Garcia. He was just a riot, man. He was funny.
Yeah, it was great. Great in that role.
But so they do this whole Frankenstein thing. He gives electricity to, you know, the Frankenstein creation, which is Jeff Daniel Phillips, all bandaged up. He's bandaged from head to boot. and Floop names him Herman Munster. Herman, I don't know where he came from. He was just like Herman.
He was a guy that he used to know who was a really good guy.
That was a really good guy. And then Munster, because like the cheese. He was eating a sandwich and he had Munster cheese on it. So I thought that was kind of a funny little thing.
Yeah. Richard Brake wanted to name him Uranus.
That's right. And they were making jokes back and forth about it.
Yeah.
Or Floop was. He was, yeah. So then it cuts to like the next scene after this. First it didn't work. He freaked out. Didn't work. And Floop makes a joke and starts yelling, "It's alive! It's alive!" Like in the original Frankenstein.
Yeah, it was his pet cockroach.
Yeah, it was his pet cockroach that he was holding in his hand, and he was like, "Oh." He like looks back and forth. He looks at the monster and then back at Richard Brake. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dad. Oh, I'm sorry, man. My pet here." And Richard Brake stomps it with his fist in his hand when he holds it out. He doesn't kill it. And I remember he makes a joke. He's like, "Oh, it's a strong little bugger." Yeah, so Herman comes to life after that. Then it cuts to the next scene. And so seeking revenge on her ex-husband, the Count, the gypsy, Zoya, entrances the Count's werewolf son, Lester, who's deeply in debt to Zoya. This werewolf is like your typical, like, he's got like a gambling addiction. He's just he's just that idiot in the family no one wants around. And Zoya has Lester come to her tent. Under the threat of losing his head, Lester agrees to Zoya's plan to have the Count sell her his Transylvania castle so she can turn it into a casino or theme park or whatever. I don't remember what it was. Who cares? But she wanted it, and she wanted to screw over her ex-husband there. So Lester calls his dad with the proposal, but the Count immediately dismisses his deadbeat son's latest scheme, which is hilarious the way he does it too. He's like, "I'm in a good mood, so I'm gonna give you 2 seconds and he literally does. So over breakfast, served by his faithful servant Igor, the Count talks with his 150-year-old vampire daughter Lily about her unsatisfying love life and disappointing recent date with Count Orlok, who's played by Richard Brake.
Which is so freaking cool.
This really sucked me into this movie as soon as I saw Count Orlok. And the way they are introduced and stuff, it's great. And you're going to... I loved Count Orlok in this. This is my favorite Richard Brake character.
Really?
Yes, it is. I loved it. I love Nosferatu.
Okay, that's fair.
And I just thought that it was just and seeing the makeup process a little bit, and when they put his ears on and everything, it was goofy.
Oh, yeah.
He was the perfect like guy to play.
Oh yeah, I mean, he did amazing.
It was crazy.
Every role he did in this was fantastic. I will have to say, I won't say that it's my favorite. My favorite, obviously, is Doomhead from 31. But this is a really damn close second.
Yeah, well, two different movies, too. You got to remember, this is a PG, it's a PG movie.
But I'm just saying, as far as, you know, acting as a whole, this is my second favorite. You're such an idiot.
Oh, you really got to be here, you guys. Okay,
moving
so,
right along.
So Lily and the Count then watch the TV show Good Morning Transylvania, and it's with the host Ezra Mosher.
Yes.
Who's played by Daniel Roebuck, and it's great because the Count is Daniel Roebuck, and he's sitting there watching the show, so he's like sitting there watching himself, basically. Yeah. It's great. Ezra's guest, Dr. Wolfgang, unveils Herman Munster live on the air on this TV show, and they're watching. It's great. Wolfgang is disgusted to discover Herman is this bumbling brute with this goofy sense of humor when he begins performing a stand-up comedy routine, and it's so great. It's what was that joke that he made, you know? A horse walks into a bar, the bartender says, "Why the long face?"
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dad jokes, you know? I love it. But Lily, for some reason, falls in love with Herman's unusual personality. A match made in hell.
Yeah.
It's great. So as Herman becomes a celebrity with the character Floop, acting as his manager, Lily goes to see him perform with his band, the Punk Rods. And it's funny because I think that was the name of Herman Munster's band in the original show.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it was the Punk Rods. And if it wasn't, it's referenced in there some way. Right. But I do know that Rob Zombie took this for... I do know that because if you watch the original series, there's a couple episodes in there. One of them where Herman reunites or something with his old band, or he starts a band and becomes a star again. And Lily has a dream about him, too, when he's like in this, I don't know, it's like a one-man band thing, and there's like two chicks dancing around him, and he's playing this cheesy little rockabilly number.
Mm.
Yeah, so he talks about like when he was in like previous bands back in the day and stuff. So, I don't know, I thought this was really cool that Zombie actually threw this in there, this, you know, this little scene. So he's playing with the Punk Rods at Zoya's nightclub, Zombie A-Go-Go. And I love the name. And Herman immediately falls for Lily when they meet backstage.
Yeah,
and
I thought that part was really cute.
It was. It was really cute. The Wolfman was there, and she bumps into him.
Yeah,
it's her brother. Yeah, Lester. And she asks where Herman is, and he says he's a little short on cash. So she gives him cash, and he points her in the right direction. And then they go when they meet. The two of them agree to a dinner date the following night at the Count's castle. And the Count takes an instant disliking to Herman due to his dim-wittedness.
I have to say something right now.
Say something right now.
Okay, so before he gets to the castle, the part there where he's trying on the different outfits, that pimp outfit.
Oh, God.
Good freaking God.
He comes out and he's got, there's sunglasses, but they're the shape of stars.
Yeah.
And they're see-through, like, pink.
This purple shirt and orange pants and, like, leopard-colored freaking jacket.
Very 60s.
Like, oh, my God. It
very
made me want
60s.
To rip my eyeballs out.
It kind of made you feel like you were on an acid trip and going on the Yellow Submarine.
It was
bad. Out there, man.
That was the scariest damn part of this entire movie.
I thought it was funny, though. You know, it showed that he was nervous as hell and didn't have anything to wear. And that clearly proved his point.
Yeah, really.
After Herman and Lily take their date to the cemetery outside, well, the Count begins scheming with Igor to use a magic spell to get rid of Herman, because he hates Herman. When he shows up for dinner, it's great. I mean, those who know Herman Munster, he's loud as hell. He laughs hysterically out loud. He's always banging things, breaking things on accident. He's a big lug. He's just this big, like,
he's
clumsy.
He's me in Frankenstein form, pretty much.
Yeah, he's very clumsy. Well, he's not that ugly.
Man, I'm getting old. I walked right into that one.
You did. You've got nobody to blame but yourself. This is a fun episode.
We're picking on me. You're always having fun when you're doing that.
Oh, it's just a great time, man. So the Count later tries to conjure a new mate for Lily, but his potion inadvertently summons a semi-sentient chimp, which was terrifying, instead.
Reminded me of that movie Monkey Shines.
A week of dating culminates in Herman and Lily vacationing at Devil's Island Penal Colony. And I love this scene. It's great. They're like sitting there on the beach, and he's like, oh, look, there's one, and there's this big fucking shark. It's clearly CGI, but it's still so funny, and it's done really well. And the outfits and stuff they're wearing is kind of cool. This scene where they're like kind of vacationing and they got the outfits on. I don't know why, but it made me think of that scene in Sweeney Todd when
I was about to say the same thing,
because when she's dreaming about them,
yeah,
you know,
by the sea,
yes, that it brought back that sort of like atmosphere.
Yeah,
And the wardrobes, too, because they're both really far out. It was cute. Good in both movies, in my opinion. I like them both. So Herman proposes marriage to Lily, and she accepts, which greatly frustrates the hell out of her disappointing father. If you know the original Munsters, you know that the Count, a.k.a. Grandpa... Mm-hmm. He's grandpa later because they don't have kids yet, but you know that they don't have a great relationship. And in the original series, it's just fantastic because they do hate each other, but then there's times when they team up together too. Mm-hmm. And it's great. It's all over the place. It was written so well.
Yeah, and Al and Fred had such great chemistry together anyway, so...
Somehow, yeah, they did. And Al Lewis was... Woo! He's out there, man.
Oh, yeah. He's a great actor.
He was a big activist.
He was a great actor.
Yes, yes, he was.
He was nuttier than a squirrel turd, but...
So Herman meets Lester for the first time at his wedding. With Herman as the new head of the household, Lester, he manipulates him into signing over the castle deed to Zoya. So he tricks him into doing this. And Herman was a little bit hesitant and says, you know, you should leave the numbers and stuff to Lily.
Right.
But he manipulates him and, you know, is like, you know, you're the head of the household, right? You're the man of the house now. So so he signs it. So following their marriage ceremony, Herman and Lily honeymoon in Paris. That's where it was, Paris.
Yeah.
On the trip. Herman.
That spot.
Yeah. And I loved this so much. On the trip, Herman captures this dragon creature had been supposedly haunting the city's sewers. When they hear about it, they get really excited and think it's this tourist attraction, and they go down there, and they were, I remember they're walking down there, and Herman is like, geez, you know, there's not many tourists down here. You think there would be? He's like, oh, that's why they're closed. And it's this big gate that says don't enter, basically, in like French or something.
Yeah.
And he rips the door down, and they go through on their little romantic journey to look for this monster. And Herman and Lily adopt this monster. It's so great because he's so tiny. He's like the size of an alligator, and Herman's like carrying him out, and he's all like, oh, it's this cute little like reptilian dragon looking thing. And they end up keeping him. It's a pet named Spot. And you see him throughout the rest of the movie too. And I think it's hilarious. You see like his tail. Mm-hmm. I think in one part you see him like under the covers with Lily.
Yeah.
It's cute and it's hilarious and I loved it. I fucking loved it.
That, I mean, during the TV show, that was one of the huge running things, you know, through that.
Oh yeah. So, that was, I mean, he was in the first intro they did because that's two intros. There's the very original one, and then there's the second intro where they're like busting through the door to the outside.
Yeah.
And that's one that Rob Zombie redid at the end of this movie. It's in black and white too.
Yeah, which was great.
I loved it. They nailed it, man. That part, man. I don't care what anyone fucking says, like, he really did nail that whole scene. It was awesome.
But I just thought that was another reason why I really love this movie, is because there was so much attention to detail. You know, there was stuff that, you know, if you were watching the show when you were young, mm-hmm. you could look back and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't try to do anything new. They didn't try to do anything off the wall. They didn't try to do...
Well, he put his own mark on it, you know,
and he
said he didn't want to, you know, you're not going to do a shot for shot, like remake. I mean,
who the hell wants to see that?
No, I mean, because just watch the original, you know,
but
he put his own mark on it, but he did it justice.
Yeah. And he didn't go so far out in left field that you're like,
that you're wondering what
the
hell. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He paid homage to it, but he made it his own. And that's why I love this movie as much as I do.
This is the way that a remake should be done, in my opinion.
Oh, same here.
And for me to say that nowadays is really shocking, because this is a Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
I never really used to care for him. I used to be very judgmental, and I was very close-minded as a kid in my younger days. We probably wouldn't have gotten along. We would have disagreed on everything, but I don't know. The older I get, the more open-minded I am, mm-hmm. the more laid back, and the more I just don't give a fuck. I just want to enjoy life, man. And it's just this movie. Like, I just... Real quick, let me throw this out before we get back into the plot, but I went into this movie knowing it's a prequel that Rob Zombie's doing, and I kind of expected it to not be that great, because if you go into something with really, really high hopes, it's very easy to get really pissed off and disappointed. But if you go into this movie and you think, okay, let's just have fun and watch it, let's make up some popcorn and let's turn our phones off and sit down and just have fun, that's what I did with this, with me and Brittany. We turned it, the first time I saw this was on Netflix too, when it first came out, the day that it released, because I was so excited to watch it. Yeah, I was like, I want to see this. Plus, there was nothing I was good on at the time I wanted to watch.
Right.
So I watched it, and I was like, I was really impressed by that. I really enjoyed it. And I think it was because I really didn't go into it with such high hopes. But now, after seeing this a second, well, technically a third time, because I watched it with the commentary and then I watched it again. I liked it even more the second time, though.
I think I really did too. I really do.
I think because not like I knew what to expect, and I could have enjoyed it even more, if that makes sense. But anyway, back to the plot of the movie.
Jeez, you talk about me going on tangents.
Hey, at least it wasn't off the subject. I hate you. So after Zoya serves him with the eviction notice, the Count angrily confronts Herman, of course, while they're on their honeymoon, which is even funnier. Mm-hmm. Lily rolls her eyes when she learns that Herman fell for one of Lester's schemes, and they left him without a home.
And I'm going to hold my breath until we get the castle back.
That part was great, because then he falls down, he's pretty much dead. So by watching the TV personality Zombo, which Herman is a big fan of in this, Herman gets the idea that they can get a fresh start by moving to Hollywood, where Herman can hopefully become a famous star. He thinks he'll make it there. I remember he's like, if this guy can do it, I mean, this guy's like a three at most. I'm a 10 or something like that. So he wants to become a famous star. So the Count transforms Igor next into a bat. Mm-hmm. And it's great that you get to find out like what became of Igor, why he's a bat. Right. I thought that was a nice touch that he put on that. He transforms him into a bat so he can join him on the trip to California, because Herman says like, that freeloader's not coming with us.
No friends, Igor.
They go to California, and realtor Barbara Carr is her name, and this is the character played by Cassandra Peterson. And I'm sorry, Cassandra Peterson is beautiful. She's gorgeous.
She is absolutely knockout.
But did
woman.
You think in this role, I think they made her look older in that part.
Well, she had the makeup on her face.
Even before that. Remember when they call her and she's on the phone? She says, don't be surprised by my appearance when you see me tomorrow.
Oh, okay,
that part, they made her look a little older. I couldn't even tell that was her.
Yeah, I think maybe they may have done it a little bit, but I don't care. She is just absolutely beautiful woman.
She's great, yeah. She's a very nice person, too. I had the pleasure of meeting her a few years back. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I had Harley with me, and she was sleeping on my shoulder when I got a picture with her. I was like, God damn it. But sweetest lady I've ever met.
She's wonderful. Every time I've seen her in interviews, she's just seems like such a good person.
Never a bad interview with her, never.
And she just always seems happy and seems to love what she does. And I love the character.
Mm-hmm.
I've always loved the character.
Same here.
I love the movie she did. I loved her.
I love the movie. That was just goofy, silly. It was just a cornball-y type movie. It's great.
Yeah, and the movie she did like for the Midnight Movie Matinee stuff.
Oh, those are great. Those are just so fun to watch.
It's just such a great character and such a great person.
She plays the realtor, Barbara Carr, takes Herman, Lily, and the Count on a brief tour of Hollywood before taking them to Mockingbird Heights. Barbara shows the Munsters a model home, but they insist on buying a dilapidated old house at 1313 Mockingbird Lane. The house that she was showing them was like across the street from it.
Yeah.
And it was this nice little, cute little house. But the one they're looking at is this, well, it's the Munsters house.
Yeah, it's the house.
Yeah, and they did a fantastic job with recreate. Like, Zombie did it. It was, like, perfect. Like, I remember seeing pictures on Facebook and everywhere online when he was first releasing images of, you know, how the Munsters was coming along. And that whole neighborhood there, Mockingbird Heights, the whole thing was built by the team out in Budapest.
Yep.
It's amazing the work that they did to make it look like that. It was so fucking amazing. Yeah. Like, I was just watching this movie and I was just amazed at how wonderful everything looked.
Even down to the era of the cars and the costumes.
The cars, I noticed that.
And
the bicycles.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything was
It had a 60s, they wanted a 60s type of feel in this neighborhood.
Even the rubber masks that the kids were wearing.
When they stop and almost hit them with a car.
They weren't error masks, but they were error correct masks.
What cute little children.
Yeah. I just thought that was so cool. And that's, again, that attention to detail is what made this movie so
I mean,
great.
Jeff Daniel Phillips said in an interview that I heard on a podcast, he did this first podcast, like, I don't know, a year ago, I think it was, but I listened to this podcast and he said that Rob Zombie is just one that with the Munsters, he said, if anyone loves the Munsters more than Rob Zombie, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
Because the amount of just work that he put into all the little details, all the tiny little details, it just amazed him.
I mean, my God, the dude has a freaking specially made damn jacket with Herman Munster's freaking face on the back. Yeah,
that was cool, that because you saw that on the special features.
Yeah.
Because he had a couple jackets I was noticing, one with a whole bunch of horror patches all over it, which is cool. And it's funny because Brittany pointed out, and this isn't the first time I've heard this, but she's like, Rob Zombie's got all this money. Why does he have to look like a homeless person every time I see him?
I
just said, you know, he just likes to look that way. I don't know. He doesn't care.
I think Rob is, I think he's great. And I mean, no disrespect, Rob, if you hear this, but I've always thought he looked like the dark side version of Macho Man Randy Savage. Like when he's wearing the hat and everything.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yep. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he went as Macho Man Randy Savage for Halloween or something.
That would be the greatest thing.
That'd be fucking cool.
Ever.
Yeah, I could see him pulling that off big time, yeah. So, okay, back to the story here. We're almost done with the plot here, and then we'll get into our final ratings. So, anyway, we're coming up to some of my favorite scenes in the movie. So, Herman, Lily, and the Count join their neighbors for a Halloween block party that they had. It was like an hour later they had this party. And they were unaware of the holiday's customs. So the Munsters assume that they're just partying with other, you know, freaks and weirdos and people that are like them. And it gets funny. The residents assume that the Munsters are wearing costumes, of course. And they're complimenting on them. They're great costumes and stuff. And they end up winning an award for a $1,500 contest prize. Herman leaves the house for his first day of work, carrying corpses at the Gateman
Goodberry and Graves.
Goodberry Funeral Parlor, which is another, that was in the original, that's the company he worked for, like, through the whole series, I think, or at least most of the series. And the first time that I heard Gateman Goodberry and Graves, when they're up there singing that depressing, fucking terrible song, that was, oh my God, I really got to hand it to Rob, because, wow, that was, I laughed so hard. It was awesome. And I also love the joke that he tells, because the Count says, my idiot son-in-law is looking for a job, so if anyone's hiring, you know. And that's when Gateman, Goodberry, and Graves go up to him and ask him if he's serious about it.
Oh my God, the glass coffins.
And Herman says, have you fellows heard about the new glass coffins? Mr. Gateman says, we have not. Are they successful? Herman says, remains to be seen, Mr. Gateman. Remains to be seen.
It's so bad.
That is my favorite joke in the whole movie. It took me a second. It took me a second, though. It was
so
great. I love the jokes in this movie.
I do too.
They're supposed to be like cornball and dad jokes and stupid stuff
that.
You know, I mean, it's even worse with the series. If you watch the series, there's even like really, really cheesy ass, like, you know, corny
cringe
jokes. It's great. I love
cringe.
It. I absolutely love it. Getting his first look at Mockingbird Heights outside of Halloween when Herman steps out onto the porch, he then retreats in shock when he sees that they're living among normal people in this idyllic suburb. And this is when he's like, Car 54, where are you? Lily and the Count are also equally horrified. Lester then arrives, which was shocking to me. And although the Munsters are initially unhappy to see him, Lester presents Herman with this check for, I guess it's a ton of money.
Yeah.
You don't find out how much, but Lester won in Vegas, he said, using Zora's payment for the Count's castle. So Herman and the Munsters are pretty excited to realize that they're pretty much now rich.
Yeah.
And the ending confused me a little bit there, because that's where it ends.
Mm-hmm.
They're all happy, jumping up and down, going, I'm rich. And that's the end. It was a little confusing because it kept it open for another one.
Yeah.
There's always room for another, and I think he should do one.
And I really hope they do a sequel.
I think
I'd love to see,
you know,
them do like stuff from the earlier seasons, you know, I'm blanking on the damn kid's name.
Eddie Munster?
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I don't know who would, I'm sure Rob could find someone for it, you know, and find someone to play a Marilyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be really interesting to see, like, what else, what he would do after that, or if he's even thought of it.
I'm sure he has.
I know he's always wanted to do a Munsters movie, but sometimes it makes you wonder, like, has he thought about doing, like, a sequel
or maybe
to
even
that
a series.
Or, oh, man, that would be tough.
It'd be
I don't
tough,
know. That would
but
be
I
that's
think
a
that,
That's a ballsy move, too.
I think that if anybody could do it, he could pull it off.
I think so. This movie was just...
I mean, the guy obviously knows what he's doing, and he did a fair, you know, very good job.
For stuff that he really likes, especially, he has an eye for this sort of stuff.
Oh,
he
yeah.
knew what he wanted. I guess this movie was, like, supposed to be made, like, 10 years ago or... 10 or 12 years ago.
Right.
He's been wanting to do it for. And then Jeff Daniel Phillips said that he was presented the role for Herman Munster like 5 different times. And it just kept being like pushed back. So he never knew if it was actually going to get made. It would get a green light and then it would be on hold.
Right.
So they went through, it sounds like Rob went through hell with whoever it was he had to go through to get this movie made. And I feel for the guy. And I'm happy that it finally came out. I really am. I'm thrilled for the guy. This is probably going to be the only podcast that really raves about this movie. Because every podcast I looked at, just right. it just shut it down so bad. And didn't give him any credit. And it just pissed me off. Because yeah. I just don't think that these people really know the Munsters that well.
And, you know, if that is your opinion on this, that is perfectly fine. We're not here to sway anybody's opinion. We're not here to... say that you're wrong. We're just saying that this is our opinion on this movie.
Right. Movies are subjective, but what I hate is when people say that, you know, they'll say something that's not true and they'll say that it's facts. And that bothers me. Like the stuff that I heard about people saying Rob Zombie never wanted to make this movie and this is just what ridiculous. He got handed to him. Where did you come up with that? I mean, Rob wanted to do this movie. And we're going to get into our final ratings now. With that being said, Mike, why don't you go first?
So I'm going to give this movie a solid 8.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't tell Johnny beforehand, and he's been kind of...
I wanted to know really badly what it was going to be.
He's been kind of squirming about it ever since. Yeah, I'll give it an 8. I think from the cinematography to the score to the acting to the whole 9 yards, I mean, I thought this was really good. It had some flaws. I thought there could be some better things done with it. But I think all in all, it was a really solid movie and a great homage to a great sitcom. So yeah, an 8 for me. And now you can breathe.
I can breathe. All right, I got a final rating. As Mike likes to say, you know, order a pizza, get a cup of coffee, because here I go. First off, the movie looked great. The vivid colors, the wondrous sets and wardrobes, I thought they were just all fantastic. And I understand completely why Rob wanted the film to look cartoony. Cinematography was great. The visuals are killer, scene after scene. Even when there's not much happening on the screen, it's still mesmerizing to look at. That's one of like the main things I love about this movie. If not much is happening, or if there's a part that's a little bit, like if there's a little downtime, which really isn't that much in this movie, but when there is, visually, it's just mesmerizing to look at. The story, it moves quite along, hitting all the nods to the TV show and has a few funny lines, which we've talked about. The movie's full of nods. Though homages and origin stories, including everything from the fire-breathing pet Spot to Grandpa's bat Igor. Even the house gets an origin, along with Herman's job at Gateman, Goodberry, and Graves. And the actors all looked the part. Jeff Daniel Phillips is pretty decent at Herman, even though it's lacking that iconic Fred Gwynne voice and the delivery of his lines. That's nothing new. I mean,
right.
For those who know me, you know I'm going to say that. I'm a big Munsters fan, and Fred Gwynne, no one will ever top it. Nothing quite riveting, but I think he did a good job. I really do. Sherry Moon Zombie's pretty good at Lily, and honestly, I was impressed. Truth be told, I didn't think she'd be able to pull this character off. I was impressed. She did a fantastic job. And finally, Danielle Roebuck as the Count was the absolute best.
Yes, it was.
His performance is worthy of homage to Al Lewis. The other actors, with many characters borrowing from the Universal Library, which we talked about, were very over the top, but fine for the subject matter. And Rob Zombie's directing, I have to throw out, was just simply excellent. That's it. Rob, if you're listening, it's excellent. Great job.
We loved it, buddy.
Could it have been better? Of course.
But he probably thinks it could have been better.
Anything could have been better. But this film had an uphill battle ahead of it, no matter how good it is or was. And this wasn't that good. It was missing the spark of the old TV show. That's why I say that. But even more so, it was missing the same thing every Munsters remake has lacked. Fred Gwynne, Yvonne DiCarlo, and Al Lewis. To paraphrase Herman, after they made him, they broke the mold. And that's true for those classic characters and their amazing actors as well.
Very well said, my friend.
And for that, I give it an 8 out of 10 as well. So, yeah, it's I watched it a second time. I liked it even better, but still, I think it deserves an 8. I really do. Yeah. It's nothing spectacular. Honestly, if Brad Garrett was cast as Herman and he did as good a job as I think that he could, it would probably be very, very close to a 10.
Oh, yeah.
But that's with Brad Garrett. I just think I really that would have been great.
That up.
I'm just so glad that we finally got to do this movie, because we were talking about doing this movie before we did the Universal Monsters installments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I really wanted to do it. This movie, yeah, it's tacky. It's got a lot of tackiness in there. I mean, but it's great. It's a great family movie. It's the only Rob Zombie movie that you'll feel comfortable showing your kids, because it's a PG movie.
Well, you shouldn't show them House of 1,000 Corpses?
Not me. Every parent's different, though. But just saying.
That's a good family film, you know.
I really hope that anyone who's listening really kind of gets why we rated it a 10. And if you don't like it and you disagree.
Rated it a 10.
Oh, my God. See, it's happening.
Drugs are bad, kids.
Oh, shut it. Why we rated it an 8 out of 10. I apologize. You got your different opinions. We got ours. This is what we rated it as. Yep. And movies are subjective. Even if I did not like this movie, I still have to give Rob Zombie props, because the cinematography was just really done very well. The colors,
yes, it was.
The vibrant like aspects of it. The atmosphere was just, in every scene, the atmosphere just, it felt right. It deserves a lot of credit. It really does. Even if you're not a fan, if you disagree that the movie should have been made, whatever the case. If you hated it, go back, give it another chance. If you've never seen the original Munsters TV show, go fucking watch it now.
Yeah, you can watch it for free.
Yeah, it's on Peacock. You could just watch it. I mean, it's good fun. Well, like we always say, or like we did with the Universal Monsters movies, that movie came out in, or movie, sorry, that show came out in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind that it's an older show.
But it still holds up today, in my opinion.
In ways, I think it really does, yeah. I really do. I'm actually kind of shocked that you said that, Mike, because, I mean, are you really that big of a fan of all the dad jokes and stuff that are really that cringy?
I am.
I love them.
I say that stuff in front of my mom just to get the reaction.
And it is cornball. It really is. And it's a little hokey in certain parts of the series, too. But it was meant to be that way. It was meant to be a family sitcom.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. One thing I got to mention. Fred Gwynn had some major issues with the makeup, as we know. And so did Al Lewis. He hated being referred to as Herman Munster after this. He wanted to forget that he was ever Herman Munster. Unless you were a kid. He was good to kids.
Mm-hmm.
He was very... If a kid came up and wanted him to sign something, Herman Munster, he was glad to do it.
Oh, yeah.
He understood that. He was a very, very good man in that way. But if you were an adult... Well, for instance, he turned down a movie role. I forget what the movie role was, but when they referred to him as Herman Munster, he abruptly just walked out because he was offended by that. And I can kind of understand it in a way. But anyway, I looked this up online and I looked up the video too. Herman Munster and Grandpa made an appearance at the Macy's Day Parade in, I want to say it was 1968. Maybe, I don't know. It was after the Munsters. And they were in the Munsters coach. And I guess Al Lewis said that he was, Fred Gwynn was getting pretty schnockered, and he was on some sort of like pain pills or something too.
Right.
I don't remember what it was for, but he was also drinking. He brought a flask with him, and I guess he was getting pretty drunk. And even though Al Lewis wasn't crazy about the role either or doing the makeup, they were still in a parade, and he still wanted Fred to knock it off, and he tried to get him to knock it off. And I guess they were arguing a little bit in the back of the coach during the parade, and as the parade was going on, Fred Gwynn got louder and louder, started yelling obscenities and everything, and you could overhear it. And I remember my dad telling me this story, and I thought, wow, that's shocking, you know, because you watch the show and it's just, you know, family show, and then you see these guys outside and it's like, whoa, you know, they're just regular people. But yeah, he got pretty drunk, and it was, what's her name from The Golden Girl? Betty White, I think, was a very young, beautiful Betty White, was hosting the Macy's Day Parade. And as the Munsters coach turned around the corner, Fred Gwynn yelled out a big, fuck you, to the camera and at Betty White's direction, I guess. And I guess Everyone was saying that they were shocked that the other host and Betty White didn't fall out of their chairs at that. But yeah, I guess he got, it was very obvious. And I think it was recorded on TV, but I don't think they, I think they blocked it out now. But
I would love to see that unedited.
I watched it and you can see them, but you can't really tell what's going on. You can't hear them or anything. It's all cut out, but you could still see that that was the time that it happened.
Right.
And, the person in the front that was driving the vehicle turned up the music louder and louder every time Fred Gwynne would yell. I wonder if he felt bad about that later on. I don't know.
I kind of understand where he's coming from in a sense, because my God.
Well, he hated the makeup.
Yeah, that's got to be, I mean, I've heard some stories of people having to go and talk with experts in torture in order to get through that
stuff. Yeah, Jim Carrey mentioned that he brought someone in to do that for The Grinch, because it was such a crazy, like, it was like an 8-hour job, I think, or something like that. But that's, I mean, look at the makeup. I don't know. I think personally, Fred Gwynne shouldn't have just done it. I mean, I understand why he was drinking and stuff, but I mean, when you're at a parade, you know, I mean, back then parades were simply mostly for kids and family. And
I used to drink at parades.
Well, that's, you're a dickhead.
Well, now everybody knows. Thanks.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that little piece of information. If anyone's interested, you can. It's all over the internet. You can look it up, and you can look it up on YouTube. It was just I'd never heard of that before. And then when I was reading about it, I vaguely remember my father telling me that story when I was a kid. So it was one of those stories that I'd been told, but I'd forgotten about it for so many years. But I just thought that was just pretty interesting. But with that being said, Mike, do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Not really. Just, you know, thanks for listening, and hope you enjoyed the show. And yeah.
I'm just going to say everyone that I've seen posted negative reviews must have never seen or liked the original series, because, I mean, I can't say that enough. It's corny, silly, goofy. It's wonderful. The Munsters is supposed to be silly. Remember that. The concept is ridiculous. Lighten up. This is a feature-length 60s sitcom episode, and I loved it. Misfit Mike loved it. It's fantastic. It's fun. It's very lighthearted.
Yep.
It's got some great comedy in there. Like I said, corny, silly, and goofy, but it's there's some comedy there. And we know it's not the original Munsters, but this is a 2022 prequel. So just lighten up and also keep an open mind and just enjoy it.
I agree.
And, you know, like Fred Gwynne said, fuck you if you don't like it. No, I think that's going to do it. Thank you guys all for listening. We had a great time on this episode. It's great. We don't know what we're doing next week, so it's going to be a treat for us as well.
Yeah, well, it'll be a surprise. Could be Chud. Could be Peaches. You don't know.
No, it's not going to be. Fuck. Yeah, God damn it, Mike. Fuck. All right, fine. Fine. Fuck. Let's get out of here. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much. We hope you enjoyed our 25th episode of the Chainsaw Enema Show. Remember, you can listen to our previous episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you could find podcasts. And if you have any suggestions or requests, you can email MisfitMike at
MisfitMike81986@gmail.com.
He checks it every fucking day.
Yes, I have no life.
Or send us a Facebook message. And remember to rate us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. That way we know people are listening. Don't forget to lock your doors and windows. Check the closet and look under the bed. Until the next time, I'm Johnny B. Ghoul.
And I'm Misfit Mike.
And always remember,
keep the horror alive.